Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to worship. We're glad to see you here, and a special welcome to any visitors, your first time. We're extra specially happy to see you here, and pray this would be a blessing as we gather in Jesus' name. We have a lot of announcements today. Some are printed and some aren't. Church board, tomorrow evening here, 7 p.m. Tuesday Bible study of the morning study. We'll meet at Faye Baylor's house, 10, and that has an online option. If you want to be a part of that, you can show up at Faye's, or if you want to be online, you can talk to me and I'll get you that information. In the evening session this week, we'll be meeting at my place, so you can talk to me if you want to be there for the 7 p.m. Tuesday evening Bible study. We're studying the book of Psalms, and if you want to join in and miss the first session, you can still hop in here. We'll be looking at a different psalm each week. Youth group on Wednesday from 7 to 8 at Messiah Church for grades 6 through 12. Contact Pastor Eric for more information. And there's coffee and refreshments following worship today, so you're invited to stay and have something to refresh yourself and some conversation with each other. Also, the outreach group is meeting on October 12th, 9:15 at Faye Baylor's house. Note that is a time change, so if you're in the outreach group, 9:15, October 12th at Faye's. Okay, well, you have a few inserts. One of the ministries our church has is the Deacon Board Caring Fund, and I'll draw your attention to that insert. This is a way that our church can help a family or individual within or somehow connected to our congregation that has a specific material need. And if you want to help contribute to that fund, there is a box. It's now located on the table near the offering plate in the entryway. And if you know of a need for yourself or someone else, you can contact one of the pastors or the deacons, and we'll consider that and act on it as the Lord guides us. So, just be aware of that. That's an ongoing thing. We just want to mention it now and then just so you know that it's there. It's a way you can help or be helped by fellow believers here at Stavanger. Harvest party's coming up this Saturday, next Saturday, a week from this Saturday, October 15th, and a lot of fun. See the insert about that, more details. This also, the Seminary Scholarship Fund, we've mentioned that before. That is a way we can help our seminary students defray the cost of attending Lutheran Brethren Seminary while they're serving us. And also, if God calls someone from Stavanger to attend seminary, we can help with them as well. And more information on that insert if you want to help make a contribution to that. It says right there how you can do that. The new members class is already underway. If you just want to review what it is that we believe and why you're a part of Stavanger, you're welcome to join. If you're new to Stavanger and just showed up today, you can jump on in the class. We meet in that room right over there at 9:30 on Sunday mornings during October. And we're not just meeting here on Sunday mornings. Sunday evening, October 9th and the 23rd, we have Dr. Nate Larson, a licensed psychologist, professor of practical theology at Lutheran Brethren Seminary, and brother of Joy. That qualification didn't make it in there, but I don't know. Should we have mentioned that or not? Well, too late now. A good guy. He has been invited to come and talk to us on the topic of how do we deal with how wound up and boiling over people seem to be, maybe even ourselves these days, and both kind of in the public and at home and in our own lives. So we're planning to have this, try to make it as available as we can for people in any situation in life, whether you got young kids or not, to come. We do plan to have babysitting provided and a meal for a light meal at 5:30, and then the session begins at 6 o'clock. So if you're coming, and especially if you're coming for the meal and childcare, if you could let me know so we have enough of both for food and childcare, that would be appreciated. So, yeah, let me know as soon as possible this week if you're interested in that. Oh, well, don't forget the daily prayer notes, how we can keep our missionaries and international mission work around the world in prayer. That's in your bulletin. And finally, this Sunday we have communion at Stavanger as our custom, the first Sunday of the month. And if you're new to Stavanger and you're interested in joining at the Lord's table, I invite you to read the insert and find yourself in agreement with our belief and practice. You are welcome to join us at the Lord's table. Those are the announcements we have, that I have. Do you have any in addition that have been missed? All right. We have one more thing that's right in front of me here. In our series of posters that are highlighting the incarnation of Jesus, what it meant to be for him to become fully human from conception to birth. This week we have month one, and I'll read the passage here, and we'll hang it up. We'll have the series going with a new poster each week up to Advent. During this month, first amazing month of human life, Jesus grew to 10,000 times his size at conception. He was totally dependent upon his mother, just as every other human being at this stage of life. By week three, the Savior's heart had begun to pump the blood which would one day be shed for the sins of the world. From Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 62. "My salvation and my honor depend upon God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather to hear your word and receive your body and blood, that we once more may be reminded of your blood that was shed for us to wash our sins, that we might become your children and have eternal life with you. So, Lord, may you remind us and revive us with these great truths. And may your name be praised among us this day. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able as we worship the Lord in song. To God be the glory. Congregation may be seated. Do we have a scripture reader today?
Pardon me?
Are you reading scripture today? No. No, no. I thought Eric was pointing. Oh, Michaela is reading scripture today. Thank you. Come on up.
Habakkuk 2:1-4. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, though it linger. Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith.
Thank you, Michaela. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Are there any special prayer requests you'd like to share for today? Okay. Yes, thank you. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a loving Father who does give good things to your children who ask. Lord, we come to you with thanksgiving for your goodness in our life, for your presence, for your care, for your redemption in Jesus, about which we've sung. We also come to you, Lord, with the concerns of our hearts, the burdens. We think, Lord, of Jamie and his struggle with cancer. We pray, Lord, for your grace, for your help, for your healing, for hope, for strength for all he needs, for him and his loved ones. And pray for others, Lord, among us who are struggling with illness, injury, and recovery. May you help them, Lord, this day and the days to come with healing and restoration, encouragement and hope, all they need, Lord. We pray for those who mourn. We remember the family of Justin and Grace whose committals were yesterday here. We pray, Lord, for your peace, for your strength for their loved ones as they move forward, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who've lost loved ones and property in the storm in Florida. Lord, we pray your help as recovery is ongoing. We pray for those who are first responders, for those who are in government, in medical fields, Lord, and all those who are looked at in these times for extra help. Strengthen them, Lord, and use your church to come to the aid of those in need. We pray for the people of Ukraine, Lord, that you would find a quick and peaceful end to the conflict. We pray you would help those who are trapped and trying to get out, those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those who are captives, those who are facing hardship as winter is approaching. Lord, we pray for our missionaries around the world. We thank you, Lord, for bringing Matt and Christina Smith and their family safely to N'Djamena. And we pray that you would help them in this adjustment to life there. Give them health, good rest, and good relationship building. Bless them, Lord, with fruitful ministry there. For these, Lord, and all the unspoken needs upon our hearts, we lift them up to you in the name of our Lord Jesus and ask too your blessing upon the preaching of the word as Pastor Eric comes. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of our gospel text this morning from Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper and get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Jesus has high expectations for those who follow him. In chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus invites a man to follow him, the man replies, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Seems like a pretty reasonable request. But Jesus tells him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Then Jesus continues, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." In Luke chapter 9, Jesus discusses the cost of being one of his disciples. He turns to these large crowds who have gathered around Jesus and have been following him and traveling with him. And he tells them, "Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Then in our gospel text this morning, Jesus instructs his followers to care for little ones and to forgive repeatedly those who repent. Jesus has high expectations, and the apostles see that, which is why they plea for help. "Lord, increase our faith." Jesus told them that if someone sins against them and that offending party repents, if they turn from their sin seeking forgiveness, then they should be forgiven. He says, "Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, you must forgive them." Now, when Jesus talks about forgiving someone 7 times in a day, he's not telling you to turn them away if they come back an eighth. Like, "Oh, sorry, you hit your quota for the day. No more forgiveness for you." No, if you remember in the Gospel of Matthew, Peter goes to Jesus and he asks, "How many times should we forgive someone who sins against us?" And I think he thinks he's being generous. He says to Jesus, up to 7 times. And what does Jesus say? "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is a high expectation. And the reality of our sinful condition is that we don't naturally forgive. We tend to seek vengeance. Forgiveness is difficult, but revenge comes naturally. The apostles recognize this high expectation, and they ask Jesus to increase their faith. Now, I think it's important here to notice what they don't ask. They didn't ask for Jesus to help them to forgive. Instead, they ask for faith. In this plea, we see the connection between faith and action. When disciples of Jesus do not forgive as they have been forgiven, the solution isn't merely to tell them to forgive more. That's part of it, but more fundamental than that, the solution is to proclaim the object to which their faith clings. That is Jesus Christ. Earlier in our scripture reading from Habakkuk, this righteous person is described. In one chapter earlier than that, we are told that this righteous person is surrounded by wickedness and destruction and violence. And then in the last verse of our scripture reading, it said, "See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." And that leaves us with the question, who is this righteous person? Who is this person living by their faith? Well, you may have learned in Sunday school as a child, or maybe in confirmation. Maybe you learned it as an adult. But often, most of the time, when these kinds of questions are asked in church, the answer is Jesus. And he is the answer here as well. As Jesus approached the horrors of the cross, he faithfully submitted, praying, "Father, your will be done." He allowed wickedness, destruction, and violence to surround him for our sake. His faithfulness brought him to the cross and into the grave. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Jesus conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. And through him, atonement for all of sin, it's not merely possible, it has been accomplished. He offers this forgiveness just as he instructs us to forgive. That is, freely and without limit. As we learn in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is because of Jesus' faithfulness to God and his continued faithfulness to us that he has such high expectations. You see, God is like this gardener who tirelessly works over his garden. He works to ensure that his plants have everything that they need to be healthy. He uses only the best soil, filled with nutrients. He's mindful about how much sunlight they get, how much water they consume. This gardener has high expectations for the harvest, not because his plants are anything special, but because he has put in all of the work necessary to ensure an abundant harvest. The same is true for us. Jesus has high expectations for us because he has put in all of the work. His faithful life, his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection, all of these guarantee that our lives will produce good fruit. There's this quote about forgiveness that I've seen attributed to Mark Twain, although it's unclear what the origin really is, but it says, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the flower leaves on the heel of the one who crushed it." Forgiveness is the aroma of the cross, and it is to be the aroma of our lives. It was your sin that led to Jesus being crushed. And because of that, the fragrance of his forgiveness is now on your heel. To be a Christian is to be forgiven, and it is to be forgiving. The two go together. And as we live as sinners among other sinners in this world, you will be provided with many opportunities to ask for forgiveness as you wrong others, and also to forgive as they wrong you. This forgiving and forgiveness will be a lifelong exercise for all of us. The first verse of our gospel reading reminds us of this when Jesus says, things that cause people to stumble, scandals, they're bound to come. Sin, wronging others, being wronged by others, that is all inevitable. That is the reality of living in a world that has fallen into sin. But the reality of the cross is that you have been forgiven, and you are now free to forgive others. So this morning, I'll ask you to contemplate, who do you need to forgive? Who has hurt you so severely that you just can't seem to let it go? Forgive them. Not because you will gain a special reward or because Jesus will give you extra holiness points. Forgive them because that is who Christ has made you. Someone who forgives freely and without limit. The aroma of forgiveness might be flowers, but I know for certain what it tastes like. Bread and wine. So as we gather around this rail today, recognize what it is you are receiving. The true body and blood of Jesus Christ. Cling to the words proclaimed to you that he has now made full satisfaction for all of your sin. This is the faithfulness of our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us and for the forgiveness that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. May you lead us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. May we be who we are in you, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let us sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. The benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And may the God of peace, through whom the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.